Well, we're excited that the Christmas season is here, and I'm looking forward to next week beginning our Christmas series. But this morning, I really wanted to take just one more week to talk about the discipleship theme that we've been spending so much time on this entire year. As many of you know, this week is one of our largest events of the entire year, Main Street Bethlehem. You've seen it now for a couple of weeks, and after the service is over, we're going to be removing all of the chairs and finishing putting up the rest of the booths and the animal corral and all the other parts of it, because this Thursday night it begins. And I think the last I heard, the cast and all of the supporting cast is well up over 80, and so we are excited at the opportunity that we will have this week. Every single one of us to do all that we can do to present to our community what Bethlehem may have looked like and sounded like and felt like on the night that Jesus was born. And all of this that we're doing is really for the opportunity, praying that the Lord would impress on the hearts of everyone that walks through here and give to them a renewed interest in this story. And for those who don't know the Lord, that it might be the time that this renewed interest would just kind of spark their curiosity enough that they might be willing to engage with someone along the path and talk with someone about the real meaning of this season. And so we're going to have just a word of prayer to ask the Lord to bless. And I'm going to encourage you throughout this week, would you just pray for us? There's so many moving parts and so many people that are giving and have given large amounts of time. And we want this to be profitable as far as eternity is concerned. We want this to make a difference. And so our prayer is that our community will be impacted with the story of the gospel as presented Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night here in this building. And that the Lord would be pleased to use it to accomplish great things. So let's pray. Father, we have so very little to offer. You remind us that apart from you, we can do nothing. And yet you've called upon us and you've asked of us to give our best. And so we give our best creativity and we give our best energies and we give our best in our prayer and our worship of you. And even as we approach you this morning, Lord, we bring you the sacrifice of praise. We give you all that we are and all that we have and all that we ever will be. And we gladly and willingly and excitedly lay it at your feet. And just ask, Lord, that you would take us and use us to accomplish your will. We are honored to be vessels. We are amazed that you choose to use us. We're so grateful for the blessings that you bestow and the joy and the peace that you give to us as we serve you. We recognize how unworthy we are. And yet, Father, we're so very, very thankful. Thankful that we can be called the children of God. Thankful that the Spirit dwells within us, leads and guides us, directs our steps, and then chooses, Lord, to speak through us, to accomplish your will and to challenge hearts and to open the conversation for further conversation about you. And we recognize that all comes from you. And so even this morning, we want to surrender to you, Lord, Main Street Bethlehem. We will do the best we can to present the gospel in a form that for some might be the very form that they need to hear it in, Lord, in order to desire to know more. We pray for the many who will come through these doors, so many of them unbelievers, so many of them just only caught up in the seasonal part of this without really understanding the message. And Father, we ask that your Spirit would so impress upon them that there is more, that they would in fact talk to someone, that they would ask questions, or that they would come back to church where they can hear the gospel, where they can have the opportunity to respond. I want to pray especially for everyone who's involved in Main Street and for those who have already been tirelessly serving. Lord, would you bless them? We dedicate them to you. We pray that you would give us grace and mercy and patience and wisdom and insight and a special sensitivity to the Spirit as he nudges us, as we try to engage with those that are walking through. Lord, would you please just bless our efforts? Would you make them count for eternity? We would love, Lord, this year to hear of or to have the opportunity to see even just one person who would place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ because of this event. We pray for the strength and the endurance that we need the 3 nights. We pray that you would give us faces that are full of joy and excitement. And Lord, that we would do the very best that we can because we do it for you. And we commit the results into your hands. We trust you, Lord, to do what you want to do. And we just thank you again that we have the privilege and the honor of being associated with a chance to serve you in this way. And so we'll ask your blessing on this week. May it impact eternity. May it leave a mark on our community, Lord, like never before. And we ask now that as we turn to your word, that you would speak to us. Lord, that you would encourage us in our walk with you. That you would cause us to not be satisfied where we are. That you would cause us, Lord, to want more and to desire a deeper relationship with you, more understanding of your word, more fellowship of the Spirit. We just pray that you would be pleased to speak through me this morning to accomplish your will in all of our hearts. And Lord, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you've been with us the last few weeks, we've been talking about vehicles of spiritual discipleship. And following the book called Transit by Sean Johnson, we've been making an effort to explain the different ways in which we as Christians can move toward God. One of the main verses that we've been using kind of that I keep coming back to is, you know, in James 4:8, where it just says that we should draw near to God. And in response to our attempts and our efforts and our desire to draw near to him, he will draw near to us. We know from Scripture that it's really in our court, you might say, to take that first step. You know, we can pray, we can talk to the Lord, but we don't expect the Lord to be the one to always initiate, even though so many times in his grace and mercy he does. His call to us is, no, I want you to be involved. I want you to make the effort. Well, these 6 vehicles that we've been looking at, prayer, Bible study, relationships, serving, giving, and sharing, they're avenues, they're roadways that if we get on them and follow them, they will take us to the Lord. They will draw us nearer to him as we engage in them. But we're human, right? And generally speaking, whenever we put a list together, it's just a matter of time before we start using this list as a box checking off procedure. All right, I prayed. Okay, God's got to bless me now. Oh, okay, I did a little Bible study. I filled that need. I'll try to be better with, you know, just making good relations. We kind of go through these things and we begin to lose focus on really what we're trying to do. And we turn this into what the Pharisees and the Sadducees turned it into. This was a list that you had to keep in order to be spiritual. And the better you kept this list, the more spiritual you were. And obviously, the better you were than those around you, because they weren't doing as good a job at this list as you are. That's the human nature. And throughout the Old Testament, you remember the times when the Lord says, hey, you know, I hear what you're saying and your lips are paying me service, but your heart is far from me. In fact, even in the Old Testament, just a couple of other verses that I love that speak to our place in initiating and putting forth effort and drawing near to the Lord. In Proverbs 8, he said, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. The psalmist in that great chapter 119 made this statement, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. With my whole heart, with everything that I am, everything that I have. There's a great promise in Jeremiah 29 that the Lord made to Israel, this promise of restoration. But he says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and you'll come and pray to me and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. With all of your heart. With passion, with enthusiasm, with desire, with intention. Not just going through the motions. And even that verse, James 4, that we just read, I want you to see the context, because the context, the broader context, speaks about so much more. This is a challenge in this chapter. The Lord speaks to double-minded people, people that were just going through the motions, and they were trying to be spiritual and yet living for their own sake as well. And the Lord says to them, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that it's to no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. You understand that the Lord longs for fellowship with us. He's placed his spirit within us. He longs for interaction. He longs for intimacy. He wants there to be conversation. He wants there to be a humility and a submission to him. He wants for us to long to be with him, to talk with him, just to spend time enjoying his company. We just passed Thanksgiving week, and for those of you that maybe got to go spend time with family, didn't you sense that in your heart? Didn't you? That as you sat with your children and you caught up with them, or you sat with other relatives, maybe your parents, and caught up with them, there is this inner connection. That when it's all done, it's like, oh, it was so good just to be together. It was so good just to talk. And we laughed together and we overate together and we had all kinds of great times together. That's what God wants. That's what the Spirit's been given to us for that fellowship. But in order for that to happen, there has to be a humility. There has to be a submission. There has to be our willingness to be clean and to be pure and to submit and obey. It's just part of that relationship. We can't spit God's face and then just expect to sit down and enjoy his company. So James is laying this all out. It takes effort. It takes time. It takes a desire and intention. But this is what God really wants. And so these vehicles are really just designed to help us to make the effort to do whatever it takes to be near to the Lord. There's a passage in John, which I'll invite you to turn to, John chapter 15. It's one of the most well-known passages in all of John, where Jesus is talking with his disciples right before the cross. These are the last few hours before Jesus goes to the cross. So this is an intimate time. This is kind of a quiet time. This is a somber time. The Lord had taken the opportunity to kind of institute what he was now really given meaning into, the Passover meal, and turning it into the Lord's Supper. They had just spent time eating together. Judas has already gone to do his betrayal work. This is a time when Jesus is just really pouring into his disciples. And he talks to them about abiding. And I know that one of the questions that is believers, we read this and we say, okay, I get it. I understand the analogy. But how? How is it that I abide? I mean, to abide literally just means to remain. It means to just stay there and to not move away. It means to continue on in that place of connection. And so we understand that there's a procedure. There is something that we have to do. And this morning I'd love to, by God's grace, just try to make a connection between abiding and this discipleship model, where how we implement being faithful to these six vehicles is really exactly what abiding is. And that's how we abide. And so in verse 1, Jesus begins this part of his discussion. You know, they might be walking by now. Maybe they're making their way toward the Kidron Valley to cross over into the Garden of Gethsemane. Maybe they've passed some vines. Maybe Jesus stops to do just kind of a little object lesson. But he says to them, guys, I am the true vine. And by the way, this is the last of the seven I am statements of Jesus. I'm the light of the world. I'm the bread of life. I'm the water of life. All of these things that Jesus said, he says, I am the true vine. My Father's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you're clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. So let's just kind of walk through and look at the statements that Jesus makes to his disciples. The first one that he makes is that I'm the true vine. Jesus alone is the only vine of absolute truth. He is the true vine of which every other vine is just kind of a type that points to him. You understand, if you're agriculturally inclined at all, that a vineyard is a very delicate place. Temperatures have to be right. Rainfall has to be right. Soil has to be right. But beyond all of those things, the success or failure of the vineyard largely depends upon the vine dresser, the farmer who's in charge of the vineyard. He has to know an incredible amount of information. He has to have a tremendous amount of experience in order to make the vineyard as profitable, as successful, as productive as it can possibly be. And so once everything's in place, he really becomes the most important figure in the whole analogy. And so it's no surprise that God the Father is that farmer. He is the one that is tending to the vineyard. He knows what to cut off. He knows where to cut it off. He knows how much to cut off. He knows what not to cut off, what to leave. He knows the time of year and the weather conditions that work best. He understands all of this, and so his job is to walk carefully and slowly through the entire vineyard, plant by plant, making sure the vine is healthy, making sure that all of the branches that are coming off are still alive and productive. When he comes across one that's dead, he cuts it off. When he comes across one that's died partway back, he cuts off that part, leaving no place for disease or rot or anything else to come in that would harm the plant. There's going to be some new growth that's really long. And he'll be able to say, yeah, that's too long. We're wasting way too much energy growing this long shoot. So let's cut it back. We need the energy. We need the sap. We need the life to be being poured into the fruit, not into making long and scraggly vines. He recognizes sucker shoots that are coming up from the ground off a lower part of the vine. They're not good. They're not to be there. He gets rid of them. And with his critical eye and with his experience and wisdom, he works through every single cut being for a purpose and a reason with intention based on his experience and his wisdom and his knowledge. All for the purpose of making that vine more fruitful. And so in this analogy, Jesus says, I am that vine. I am the one that supports all the branches. I am the one through which all life and all sap and all growth and all ability to produce fruit flows through. The vine is, spiritually speaking, in our situation, he's never the problem. He is solid. He is consistent. He is everything that we need for him to be in order for us to be productive. And now we have the Father Farmer, who knows everything he needs to know and is a master at doing everything to the branches that need to be done in order to make them more productive. And so we have, speaking in those terms, we have every advantage, every opportunity. We have the best chance ever that we will be fruitful as long as we abide in him. As long as we remain connected to him. I mean, it's so important for us to remember that, as he says in verse 4, branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it stays connected. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Without me, you can do nothing. But in me and connected to me, you can do so much more than you ever dreamed possible. Because as we understand the way this process works, branches don't decide that they are going to produce fruit today. They really just are a vehicle for what's passing through them. There is no way that they could disconnect themselves from the vine and say, okay, I'll grow over and stick myself in this bucket of water and I'm just going to grow my own grapes, because it doesn't work that way. As soon as the connection's broken, they die. They wither and they're no longer fruitful. And so as disciples, as branches connected to the vine, our responsibility, our privilege, our job is to stay connected. How do we stay connected to family members? We talk with them, right? As often as we can, we get together with them. We're thankful for things like FaceTime and Skype and other video chat venues where we can see our family members. Boy, for us to talk to our little girls in Hawaii, just the chance to see their faces and to watch their antics is a privilege that my folks never ever dreamed about. But it takes time and it takes effort and often takes patience, right? There's been a few times when Marlene and I are sitting in front of the iPad and we're staring at the ceiling because the girls had dropped the phone and they were in other parts of the house. And finally a parent will walk in and say, Mom, Dad, are you there? Are you on the floor? Yes, we're just laying on the floor looking at the ceiling. You know, there's just times when there are hiccups and things don't work out maybe the way you want them to. But it's still our responsibility. It's our privilege to make the effort to stay connected. So as branches connected to the vine, we have to stay connected. How is it that we stay connected? We stay connected in prayer. Every single day, taking time to talk with the Lord. Getting away from the noise and the hubbub, turning the TV or the radio off, finding that quiet place. Jesus called it a closet. Finding your prayer closet where you can kind of disconnect from the world so that you can connect with the Savior and just spend time. And you tell the Lord how much you love him, and you tell the Lord how grateful you are for his blessings. And how you are amazed at his goodness and his grace and his mercy. how you marvel at his creative abilities and how you can't get over the beauty that he's placed around you to enjoy. You just talk with him back and forth. Yeah, you ask for help. You confess your sins. You do all the stuff that needs to be done to keep that relationship alive. And then you spend time in his word, asking, Lord, speak to me. Lord, I want my heart to be drawn to you. I want to grow in you. I want to understand you more. I want to be more like you. You see, it takes a frame of mind that says, I want this. I desire this. And that's such a different attitude than, oh yeah, I got to read today. Let's read this book. It's really short, you know, kind of a thing. Let's read this chapter. It won't take me very long. Got lots to do today. The attitude is so much different. And that's our responsibility, to be desirous, to be anxious. Do you always feel it? No, you don't always feel it. Do you wake up in the morning, every morning, first thought in your mind is, oh, I get to talk to Jesus today. No, it doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes it does. Praise the Lord. Sometimes it's so exciting, you can barely wait and you can't pull yourself away. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's more like, it's not so much that I want to do this, I need to do this. And especially when I don't want to, I'm conscious of how much more I need to. Because that's probably a big part of the problem. I mean, all of these other vehicles, just in the same way, I need to be serving. I need to be connected. I need to be having the opportunity to give of myself for others. I need to be giving out of what God has blessed me with. It needs to be regular. It needs to be consistent. I need to be giving God the opportunity week in and week out to bless what I'm giving in order that he might grow it and multiply it to greater good and greater glory for his kingdom. And so that act is a desire to honor him. It's a desire to draw close to him. And when I bump into people, you know, along my path during the day, looking for opportunities to share, hey, do you know Jesus? Do you have a relationship with him? Do you have a church family? Do you have a place where you go to get connected and worship the Lord? We'd love to have you come join us. Hey, here's an event that's coming up. I think a few more cards out there. If you run out or if you didn't pick up any, take them and pass them out this week. But everything that you do, everything that I do that is an effort to draw closer to the Lord is the way in which we abide. It's the way we put feet to this passage. And we remember, what does Jesus say in verse 4? You cannot bear fruit by yourself unless you abide in the vine. Unless you abided me, you'll never bear fruit either. Look at verse 5. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So there's these two corollaries. One says if you don't abide, you can't bear fruit. The other one says if you do abide, you can't help but bear fruit. It's just the way it works. So in a sense, we don't regulate our fruitfulness. We can only regulate our connection. We're responsible to be sure that we're connected and that we stay connected. God is the one that regulates how fruitful we are. And I think it's interesting that he prunes us so that we'll be more fruitful. And I sometimes wonder whether his willingness to prune us depends on how much we complain about the pain that comes with pruning. You know, a farmer recognizes what needs to be removed in order for this plant to be fruitful. Our Father knows what it is that needs to be removed from us and from our lives to make us fruitful. And when he cuts, it hurts. And there are times when he removes really important things in our life. There's times when he moves us away from the place that we have grown comfortable, maybe a little stagnant. He reaches down and it's just like he completely removes us to transplant us someplace else. And we are forced to find a new church home and make new friends. And in that process, he stirs us up and he reminds us of how much he longs for fellowship with us. And we sometimes begin to realize, oh, problem was I was getting fat and lazy. And I wasn't really given the attention that I need to be given to my connection with the vine. He knows what it is that needs to be cut off. He removes it from us so that we will be more fruitful. There are times when people appear to be connected. And I see that in verse 2 and then also in verse 6. Every branch in me, and we have to understand this, every branch that appears to be in me, that appears to be connected, that does not bear fruit. If you look down in verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers. He was not fruitful. That branch was not fruitful. It was connected to the vine, but it wasn't fruitful. And so as the Lord, you know, pictures to the disciples, and again, Judas had just done what Judas did. And so he's that perfect illustration. He was a branch that was connected, but he wasn't abiding. He was connected, but there was no life flowing from the vine into the branch. The vine dresser recognized that, so that branch was cut off. Those branches are gathered up. They're removed from the vine. And he says in verse 6, they're gathered, they're thrown into the fire, and they're burned. You know, one of the ways that we encourage ourselves in our relationship with the Lord, because there's times when we struggle, there's times when we say, am I really connected? Boy, I don't see a lot of fruit. Man, it's been forever since I've led someone to the Lord. I just don't have that gift, and so I'm not producing fruit, so I wonder if, am I one of those branches that is connected but not abiding? And we struggle and we worry and we kind of work through that, but we have to remind ourselves that seeing reproduction, seeing new life as far as believers being made is not the only spiritual fruit that the Lord looks for. It's one, but it's not the only one. In fact, some of the different fruits that come to mind as we look through especially the New Testament in Galatians, the first place we go to is the fruit of the Spirit, right? So those that are abiding, those that are connected, and life is passing through, those branches will demonstrate life by these things being produced in them. There's love. Love for God, love for others. Love for yourself doesn't really count in that sense, right? That's something that we struggle to not spend so much of our time with. But love for God, do you love the Lord? Generally speaking, do you desire to be in his company? How about his family? Do you love his family? Even though sometimes they're really hard to even like, can you love them anyway? Those that the Lord brings across your path who are not part of our family, those who need help, those who are struggling, those whose marriages are falling apart, can you love them? Can you love on them? Love for God, love for others, joy, regardless of your circumstances. Do you have a deep-seated joy and confidence that in the Lord you can do whatever you need to do? Or does your joy fluctuate with bank account or things that you get to experience, places you get to go? Are you joyful? Are you happy when everything in life is going well, but when it's not, you're not joyful? No, joy isn't what we experience as a result of events. Joy is what we have as a result of our salvation. Confidence in the Lord. There's peace. In other places, it's called peace that passes understanding. Oh, you might not understand everything, but in spite of it all, you still have peace. Patience. kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Are these parts of your character description? When people talk about you, would they say, wow, that lady is, she's the kindest lady I've ever met. Or he's the gentlest man I've ever met. Are these descriptions of you? See, because if you're connected to the vine, even though your personality might not automatically produce these things, your connection with the vine will. This is evidence that you're alive. This is evidence that the very life of Christ is flowing through you. Because as these things grow in your life, you become more and more like Jesus, which is really the goal that we're here on earth for. Those aren't the only ones. In Hebrews, we're told about the gift of the fruit of praise. Then through him, then, let us continually offer up the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. You know, as you were singing the songs from a heart that knows the Lord and a heart that loves the Lord, and you were using your lips and your voice, regardless of whether you were on key or in tune or not, just you were going through the effort, making the motions to praise with your lips the God of the universe. That's fruit. If you come and you say, you know what, I hate the music part of it, I'll just slip in for the message. I know none of you would ever do that. Some of you might be the other way around. I'm gonna be there for the music and slip out for the message. But the truth is, if you can't be involved in the public proclamation of the goodness of God through your lips, whether you can sing or not, there's something wrong in there, because as the life of Jesus flows through you, that's one of the fruit that just grows. You can't help it. You can't stop it. There's also the fruit of sacrificial love. And Philippians, Paul's really talking about giving. The Philippians had given a great gift, and he's just saying, it's not that I need your money. I'm not seeking the gift, but what am I seeking? I'm seeking the fruit that will increase to your credit as you give, as you take that tithe or whatever it is you're going to give, and you give it to the Lord and say, Lord, bless this and use it. The Lord steps in and he honors it and he blesses you for that. And he allows you to be part of the building of the kingdom because you're investing. And Paul says, I want you to have fruit as a result of this vehicle by which you're making the effort to draw near to God. There's also the fruit of righteousness, and there's so many verses here, but I'm going to jump down to Ephesians 5, 8, 9. It says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are the light of in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And then he says this, and I don't think this reference is right, by the way, but the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. The fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. The way you treat your neighbors, the way you speak to your family, the way you treat others and speak to others, how you view your fellow employees, people that you hang around with, people that you do things with, the way you treat those around, if you treat them with goodness and kindness and gentleness and mercy, all of this is evidence in this fruit of the light that's within you. It's just part of what's going to come out of you. You might have a problem with anger. You might have a problem with your tongue. But as you walk with the Lord, as you spend time with him, as you stay connected in prayer and in his word, and as you hang around people that love the Lord, more and more you will begin to look like and sound like and act like Jesus. And if you never see any improvement, then you need to be nervous. If you are not growing, then you need to ask yourself the question, I might be connected, but am I really abiding? because what the Lord said to his disciples in John chapter 15 was very, very kind of black and white. If you abide in me, you'll bear fruit. And the Father's going to prune you so that you bear more fruit and much fruit. You can't help it. If you don't bear fruit, then he's going to cut you off and he's going to remove you because you're not really a branch. And those are the same words that we spent time on months ago. Depart from me, I never knew you. How about Philippians? My prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. You might say, wow, I really struggle with the fruit of righteousness. I'm not a very righteous person. Well, we go back to the abiding. Are you abiding? Well, I go to church on Sunday. No. Are you abiding? Are you making every effort to be connected to God every single day? Are you in his word? Are you on your knees? Are you in a relationship with another believer who's holding you accountable and challenging you? Are you making that effort? Yes, it takes time. Are you making that effort? That's the way you stay connected. When you stay connected, the fruit of righteousness grows in you and it's evident in you. You become a different person. Even in our discipline, even in the way the Lord prunes us, he reminds us in Hebrews, for the moment, all discipline seems to be painful rather than pleasant. You know, said every kid who's bent over the bed with his, you know, father standing behind him with a paddle or a belt, right? When your dad says, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And you say, right, I believe that. No, the truth is, discipline is never pleasant for both the one giving it and the one receiving it. But the reason why it's giving is because later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Your heavenly daddy farmer is constantly clipping. This is in the way. This is slowing you down. This is making you less productive. I know you like it. I know it's one of your favorite things, but it's taken too much time. It's taken too much of your energy, too much of your resource. We need to get rid of it. But I love it. I know you love it. But one day you'll thank me. Snip, snip, snip. Colossians, from the day we heard, we've not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, that we should do these good works. That's what we're here for. That's what he's pruning us for. That's the whole focus and the intention of our life on earth, is that we might bear fruit and we might bring honor and glory to him. And your heavenly Father promises to faithfully prune you. Jesus Christ promises to never stop the flow of his life into you and through you, so that you will bear fruit. Your responsibility, my responsibility, is to stay connected. It doesn't take 6 hours every day. You don't have to spend the entire morning. But neither should you as well turn this into a list that, as long as you can just say, well, I did read a verse, so I'm good on that one. As long as you keep your heart engaged, as long as your desire for the Lord to draw you to himself and change you, the lifeblood of Jesus will flow through you, just as the sap in the vine flows through the branches. And you will bear fruit. I was reading just this morning, someone recommended for this Christmas season, you know, I've told you many times, just read all the different gospel accounts of of the birth and the related Christmas story aspects of Jesus' birth. But someone said, read the book of Luke. Well, today's the first. Read chapter 1 today. You'll be reading the last chapter of the book on Christmas Eve. You will have spent this month focusing on Luke's account, which is a rich account of what Jesus did and said, how he was born, how he lived, how he died, how he came back to life in order that we might have life. And so, as an effort to jumpstart your staying connected for this month, make Luke your connection point. Tell the Savior, okay, Lord, every day I'm going to read a chapter. Please speak to me. Please challenge me. Please help me to grow. And Lord, every day I'm going to talk with you. I'm going to do all I can this month to take care of my branch's connection to the vine. And Lord, what I'm asking in return is that you would show me fruit in my life, that you would give me opportunity to see this fruit as it impacts the life of people around me, that you would give me the chance to see maybe even what it is that you're pruning away from me and enable me to see that I'm being more fruitful. Oh, and I want the joy and I want the peace and I want the confidence in you that comes from knowing that I'm connected and that I'm abiding. Friends, our abiding in him is our responsibility. But oh, if we will take care of our teeny tiny part of the equation, what he gives in return is off the charts. So I challenge you. In all of this that we've talked about in discipleship, and all of these vehicles that we've suggested, and there are many other vehicles, are you doing all that you can do to stay connected? Have you found a life team to get involved with, to meet with a smaller group? Have you been praying about maybe a discipleship partner? As scary as it might be, are you staying connected in the Word? Are you staying connected in prayer? Are you serving here in the church? Are you looking for opportunities to share your faith? Are you breaking off the relationships with those who do not love the Lord and are a horrible influence on you? Are you doing what you can do? Because if you're not, today would be a great day to make a decision. Right here, right now, Lord, I'm choosing to abide. Let's pray. Father, we need help in our abiding. We get distracted so quickly and so easily. And it seems that we are distracted for long periods of time. It seems even, Lord, that there's times when you have to shake up our world in order to get us to come back and to refocus. Lord, we pray this morning that you would get a hold of each of our hearts, regardless of where we are with you, and that you would give us resolve to strengthen our connection to you. More time or just more intentional time. Maybe it's even the same amount of time, but it's a better focused time. A time with less distractions, a time with more quietness. Maybe, Lord, it's just greater desire, greater heart on our part, where we literally cry out to you and ask that you would change our hearts into hearts that are completely given over to you. Father, we pray that this month could be a great introduction to next year. And that we would just continue on pursuing hard after you, investing quality time with you, looking for ways to serve, being careful about our giving. Lord, just in all of these different vehicles that we would employ, Lord, would you please draw us near to you and just show us, help us to see all that you're doing to draw us to yourself. I wonder this morning, with your eyes still closed, head still bowed, if you just would raise your hand and say, Pastor, just pray for me. I've done this so many times before, but I'd like this time to be different. I really, really, really would like to connect with the Lord on a daily basis in order that I would be changed. Would you just raise your hands? I want to pray for you. Okay, I see those hands. Much more importantly, God sees those hands. Thank you. Oh, Lord, you see our hands. My hand's up too. You see our hands. We want to abide. We want to do our part to abide. Would you please go before us and help us? We're weak. We don't have a lot of endurance. We give up easily. We get discouraged quickly. Lord, would you go ahead of us and would you remove the obstacles that you're willing to remove? Would you maybe wall off some of the distractions so that we're not so easily pulled off the path? Would you give us joy like we've not known in a really long time as we spend time with you, that would encourage us to come back? Lord, would you make this month extra special in our relationship with you? We love you. Thank you so much for your patience with us. And Lord, we just commit this event, this action, this determination on our part. We just ask, Lord, that it would remain and that we would abide. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you, for you're a good God. You're a loving God. We just ask that you'd go with us now with your blessing, and that we'd sense your presence just in a real way, that we would know that you're there and that you're longing to fellowship with us, and that we would be drawn to that day in and day out. And Lord, we can't wait to see what you're going to do in each of our hearts as we just give to you this desire. And we'll thank you for it. We'll ask all these things now in Jesus' name.